Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast. And if you see me playing around my eye, I'm sorry, I've got something in it and it just will not go. But if you're listening to us, make sure you give us a 5-star rating wherever that may be, because it really does help us out and we appreciate it a lot. If you're watching us on YouTube live, hello, nice to see you. Make sure you subscribe if you're new around here. Comment if you agree or disagree with anything we say during the course of the podcast, and give the video a like because we like that. We are obviously BoxBox Podcast, powered by BoxBox Club, and we have an exclusive offer for you. If you do want to sign up to BoxBox Club Ultra, you can get 30% off an Ultra yearly subscription by using the link in our bio. I think the code is also BoxBoxPod30. You can try the app out completely free. If you do just want to give it a go and you think, well, how do I know this is for me? Now you get a little free trial of the free version. So that is pretty much it. We are, of course, heading to Austria this weekend. What are your thoughts on that track? I mean, we've obviously got a lot of thoughts that we're going to share with you. We're hoping, fundamentally, that the weekend is going to be more enjoyable, or at least a little bit more exciting, than that of Canada. Now, we're coming off the back of a collision between the two McLarens. We saw a collision between the two title contenders last season at the Red Bull Ring. What can we expect?
I'm really excited. I like Austria. I like Austria for many reasons. I mean, take away 2021. Obviously, last year, it gave us a very good race with, obviously, Max and Lando. Obviously, the collision as well last year. So I'm looking forward to the Austrian track next week. But before I get onto that, I want to ask you a quick question, because there's a lot of discussions at the moment, Luke, about circuits that people would love to come back, you know, what circuits people miss. And we've discussed on the podcast many times what we would love to see more of, or, you know, tracks that we would really love to see back. But I have a question for you, and I saw this on social media earlier, and I wanted to get your view. So do comment if you listen on YouTube, do drop a comment, do let us know. If you could add one of these circuits to the calendar, right, which would it be? So you've got Hockenheim, Sepang, Istanbul, or Portugal?
Ooh. You see, I love Portimao. I think that's it's such a cool track. I think I would... It's not an easy decision, because they're actually all good tracks. I think my... bottom of the pile for me would be Istanbul. I think it's just not... It's not on the same level as those tracks, in my opinion. You might disagree. I think especially, you know, it's got to be Hockenheim, surely. I mean, purely for the sort of stature of that track. And like I say, my favourite out of them is probably Portimao, but we've said for a while, a track like Hockenheim should be on the calendar. I also love Sepang. I think that's an incredible track, and I'd love to see us sort of racing back out there. All three of those I'd love to add to the calendar. Istanbul, you know, it can be there or not, but definitely if I had to pick one, it will be Hockenheim.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hockenheim, closely followed by Sepang. Sepang, I saw an image of the track today and I looked at it and I was like, okay, yeah, I missed that track. That track was cool. But Hockenheim through the trees, it's just iconic. That for me was, you know, when some people go to like, oh, when I was growing up, I had these memories of F1, you know, for like me, it was like Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, you know, Mika Hakkinen. But when you talk about tracks, it was always Hockenheim. When you're going through, you know, and some people might say Monaco and stuff like that, but when you're going through those trees, the long straight, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's a track that just has way more character than I think of a lot of the modern tracks that we're just getting stuck with now. So yeah, bring tracks like that back. It's not going to happen. I don't think we'll see Hockenheim on the calendar anytime soon.
It's character though, isn't it? It's character. Like these tracks, you know, you look, we've just lost Imola for next year. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, we can say we haven't had the best races over the years. We obviously had a good one this year. but they're iconic. They're the ones which stand out. And I know you could argue the case for people who have listened to our podcast for a while, where you could say, well, hang on, you guys want to get rid of Monaco. That's iconic. That's something which you know, when you look at F1, that is iconic. That track is just boring. That is ultimately the only issue with that. So that is our only view with regards to Monaco. But we're going so far away from all of these iconic tracks to street circuits. I mean, look at Madrid. We got Madrid next year. What is that about?
Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty happy that Barcelona is staying. But yeah, that Madrid track looks really bad. But, you know, I don't want to criticize it before we go there, because I think we should. I think as F1 fans, sometimes we jump on, not the bandwagon, that's the wrong word, but sometimes we jump on this thing of like, oh, this sucks, like before we've even seen things happen. And, you know, people said that about Vegas, and it's actually provided us with a couple of cool races. So, yeah, I think I'll give Madrid a try. But what I don't like is that we're losing all these tracks with, you know, soul, and they've got heritage, and they've got this character about them, and we're just replacing them with sort of, you know, these soulless tracks with no history behind them. And I fully appreciate that tracks have to be given a chance in order to build some history, but I feel like there's too many at the expense of tracks that are great and absolutely belong on the F1 calendar.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, other news. Obviously, William announced this week that James Vowles has extended his contract with the team. A new long-term agreement has been reached for both parties. Look, I'm delighted for James Vowles. I think what he's done in such a small amount of time is pretty incredible. To actually get, you know, Williams' best pairing for in years, you know, going from the likes of Latifi and Sargent to Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon is pretty phenomenal. So the team are going in the right direction. I think this is a very positive move by Williams to actually give him a new contract. And it gives him that stability moving forward. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think Williams were always going to try and lock James Vowles down after the progress that they've seen, especially this season where they've, you know, I think Williams are in a place that no one expected them to be in quite so soon. We knew that James Vowles coming in, the plan was always 2026. You know, just this year they got Carlos Sainz in the car replacing Logan Sargeant, who ultimately replaced Nicholas Latifi. And it's kind of, you know, we know how those stories go. So it's kind of like, okay, well, now they've got their two drivers. We know that new regs are coming in for 2026. It's openly been said that that is their goal. I don't think anyone expected to see them quite so strong this season. So I think the fact that they are is fuel for Williams extending his contract, because at this point in time, they'd be foolish not to. You can't risk losing him. Look, there are questions about Fred Vasseur over at Ferrari. Well, all of a sudden, if you're, you know, John Elkann, you're going to be looking at someone like James Vowles. Hang on, look how he's turned this little Williams team around. They haven't got many, you know, they haven't got the same facilities as us. They haven't got the cash that we have. They've got two very good drivers, but he can still say they haven't got the drivers that we've got. Imagine if we had someone like James Vowles come in, and, you know, if he can do that job there, what can he do here? So it's important that Williams do lock him in. And I know he's always said, oh, you know, like, I'm committed to this Williams thing, like the project. And he strikes me as a very loyal sort of servant to the places that he's at. But if Ferrari came knocking for a James Vowles at Williams, does he say no?
Yeah. I couldn't see it. I think it would be too good to turn down. In all honesty,
yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, your loyalty kind of goes out the window a little bit. So, you know, Williams just have to do everything in their power to keep him there.
Yeah,
no. And I think, yeah, signing this is in the best interests of all parties, because it's clear that they now trust him, And he's going to have that sort of free reign to really lead the team how he wants to.
Yeah, no, definitely. Do let us know what your thoughts are on James Fowles. He's definitely going the right way. I've got a bit of a quiz for you, Luke. We haven't done this in a while.
We actually haven't. I love a good quiz.
So we're going to look today at the driver's percentage of their team's points. So we're going to look at across each team, which driver's got the biggest percentage out of each both drivers. And I want to see how good you are at this. So let's start with Stake. So how much percentage has Hülkenberg got over Bortoleto?
100%.
Good work. Alpine, Pierre Gasly, and Colapinto.
100%.
Well done. Doing well here. Max Verstappen in that Red Bull with Yuki Tsunoda.
96%.
Spot on. You're
was it?
Yeah, actually, well done, yeah.
Can I just tell you an interesting statistic about Red Bull?
Yeah.
And I think I read this online, so I'm not going to claim this to be mine, but if you haven't heard it, this will absolutely blow your mind. And I know it's not, it's kind of a false equivalency, because if they didn't have Max Verstappen, they would have someone else in the car. But let's just assume they had Liam Lawson and Yuki Tsunoda in the car. Red Bull would be last in the championship if you took away Max Verstappen's points.
Isn't that mad? Isn't that mental?
Dead last.
A team like Red Bull, I mean, look, Red Bull are in the position they are because they have Max Verstappen, and that's why they made the right decisions in recruitment and all of that stuff. But you think, yeah, you take away Max Verstappen. Say Max Verstappen, right, went to Mercedes for the 2025 season, okay? He made that decision. He's left after all the turmoil last year. And your two drivers who you've got is Lawson and Tsunoda. And they would be last. A team like Red Bull. That's like, that is just mad. That is mental.
It was crazy. When I saw it, I thought, no way. And I looked and, yeah.
True.
Factual information.
True. Right, let's continue. Let's go to Haas. Esteban Ocon, Ollie Bearman.
Okay, I'm going to say like 70-30.
79% Esteban Ocon.
Okay, that was kind of close.
Pretty close. Pretty close. Williams, Alex Albon, Carlos Sainz.
Ooh. Wait, are these in order?
They're in order. So I'll make it a bit easier for you. So they're working their way down. Yeah.
I'd say this is probably like 73% Albon.
76% Albon. Not bad. RB, Isaac Hadjar, and obviously Liam Lawson.
Seventy 1%.
75% Isaac Hadjar.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, look, again, it's just testament to how much of an impressive season he's having. Because Isaac Hadjar was one of the rookies that went really under the radar. You know, we underestimated him as such. Not saying, oh, he's going to come in and flop, but just wasn't really spoken about. You know, he obviously lost the F2 championship on the last day of the season to Gabriel Bortoleto. Unfortunately, his car just didn't move off the line. So it was kind of over before he even begun, really, in Abu Dhabi for him. And then, you know, there was so much talk about Kimi Antonelli. When it came to that Red Bull sort of family thing, there was just so much talk about Liam Lawson getting that Red Bull seat over Yuki Tsunoda that Hadjar was just completely overlooked, because you had Bortoleto coming in, Ollie Bearman. Oh, look how well he did in Ferrari. No one spoke about him. And we've said it here before, and we'll say it again. So far, rookie of the season, without a shadow of a doubt,
yeah.
He looks like the strongest rookie on the grid. And yeah, I think that's reflective in that point split. With Liam Lawson, who, let's not forget, a few months ago was considered such hot property that Red Bull gave him the Red Bull seat.
Mental,
and now
he's
been completely outdone, you know, sort of 3 points to every 1 point
yeah,
by his teammate.
It's solid work by Isaac Hadjar. Right, Mercedes, George Russell, Kimi Antonelli.
This probably isn't too dissimilar. I think Kimi's got like 60, 70 points, something like that. George has got, I'm going to say like 67.
68% to George Russell.
Oh, wow.
Close.
I was close again.
Right, the guy who is carrying this team, Aston Martin, Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso.
Well, if we're going in order, that can no longer apply. So I'm going to say it's probably about 64% to Lance Stroll.
Spot on. Spot on. 64%.
Can I just confirm? I had no idea this was coming up. This is not... I don't have figures in front of me. I am just naturally gifted. And modest.
Yeah, you're so humble. Charles, obviously Ferrari, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton.
Definitely closer, but definitely Charles. I'd say we're probably more down in the... I'm going to say 60 flat.
57% Charles Leclerc.
Oh, wow. Mm. Even lower. Okay.
Finally, McLaren, Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris.
Yo, that's going to be a tight one. It's going to be like probably 52% Piastri, maybe even 51.
53% Piastri.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, but look, that's the close one.
Yeah.
And that is the one everyone is watching this season, because we know realistically it's probably going to be between the two of those. You've got Max Verstappen sniffing. You've got George Russell even sort of creeping up behind them. But that one... Do you think, here's a question, is Oscar Piastri going to lead the championship for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I would be pretty confident in saying he would. Yeah. I think he's been so consistent in this first part of the season that actually it gives me full faith that actually he will continue to be that consistent. The only thing I can really see happening is if he has any DNFs, any mechanical failures that may dampen that. But I think he's been so consistent in picking up those P1s, those P2s, P3s, P4s, all of that stuff. He will always get points to keep his lead. I'm pretty confident.
But there's something to be said about the fact, and now I've always said this, I think, and I'm thinking this less and less as we go on. Lando is the quicker driver on raw pace. That is what I said. That's a quote. I'm not making that as a statement right now, because I feel like my opinion is shifting. But Lando was the quicker driver last weekend.
Yeah, look how it ended.
Now, yeah, and I knew you were going to say something like that, because it's hard to argue with that. But look, again, if Lando is able to extract some sort of... what's the word? Bottle? I don't know. Like, if he can keep it together, the title is entirely possible for him.
Look, and I completely agree with you. Lando Norris, on his day, is one of the best drivers on the grid, bar Max Verstappen, because I still think he's the best on the grid. Lando Norris can win. He could win every race if he ironed out his mistakes, but that's the issue. Consistency is the word here. He is not consistent enough week in, week out. And that can be whether that's in qualifying, Q3. That could be when it's in the race. He just isn't consistent enough race week in, week out. The drivers who go on to be champions, that's the difference between that. They are the ones who go on and win these championships because they are consistent. The Lewis Hamiltons, the Max Verstappens, the Michael Schumachers, the Sennas, all of those, they're consistent. They pick up what they need to week in, week out. Lando Norris just doesn't do that. And that is, and I've sat on this podcast and gone, that is a sad part, because he is a very talented driver. But we've got to get away from actually constantly making these excuses that actually, oh, you know, it's Lando, he'll learn from these mistakes. He's a very experienced driver. He's been around a long time, okay? These mistakes should have been ironed out. And I know some people might say, well, he hasn't had the fastest car for ages. So and what? He's been an F1 driver. He knows how to deal with these scenarios. It's something which actually he should have been ironing out by now.
Yeah, and the argument was last season, oh, you know, he'd never been in this position before. He'd never been in a title battle. And that's exactly why when the season started, I said Lando is going to be much better equipped for this season, and I think he's going to go on and win the championship. But that hasn't come to fruition. Like, that, what I said has not come true. So
do you think, though, he's actually made progress this year? You know, you look back at last year, his mistakes, and
everything.
Do you think he's a better driver?
No, I'd argue he's gone backwards. I feel like there's actually more mistakes now.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like it's become such a thing for him that it forces him into a mistake. So, yeah, I don't think he's got slower. I think we still see Canada's a great example. On his day, he's lightning. But it's like this is just living rent-free in his head, and I hope he gets it out. Number one, not because I'm particularly fussed if he wins a championship or not. Like, great, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I want anyone else other than Lewis Hamilton to win a championship. But, you know, if he won it, I'd be more than happy for him. Mm. What I really want to see is a championship battle. And I think, you know, I want Max there. I'd love for George to be involved. But if we can see Lando and Oscar really go head-to-head, you know, in that sort of that team scenario, teammate scenario, it'll be incredible. But we don't need Lando to work on his pace. We need him to just work on that mentality to enable him to just iron out these idiotic mistakes. Look, that overtake or attempted overtake that then led to him DNFing from the Montreal Grand Prix was rookie.
Yeah.
It was. There's no other way to put it. And he'll know that. He absolutely will. We know that he's better than that. And it's these high-pressure scenarios that make him do things like that.
Okay, answer me this then, okay. So over the years, there's been a lot of comparisons between like George Russell, Lando Norris and all of that. Say George Russell was in that McLaren and it was Lando Norris, George Russell as teammates. Who would be winning the championship out of them two drivers?
My money's on George. I mean, you've always said this about George, that you don't think he can handle the pressure, but I think George has shown comfortably enough times that he actually can. I think the scenarios that people tend to point to are kind of unfair. In Singapore 23 is a big one. And I think it's one thing. Like, even the best drivers have made mistakes before. Max Verstappen, God knows Lewis Hamilton's made mistakes, even in his absolute prime. And it's just, everyone will make a mistake, but kind of few and far between. Lando we see too many from. George, I don't really consider him as someone that makes mistakes. And you might disagree with me, but I'd love to see, like, you know, your argument with recent examples, or at least over the, you know, since he's been at Mercedes, where they've been, because he led Mercedes to their first win in this era of cars. And granted, Lewis had a bit of damage or whatever, but, you know, in his first season at Mercedes, he was racing against a 7-time world champion who had just previous that year been part of one of the most intense title battles we've probably ever seen in F1, if not the most intense. And George was comfortable enough to go out there and win that race in Brazil, and we saw him go on and win a good couple of races since. And I think, yeah, I'm so impressed by George now. I think he's really grown into this role at Mercedes.
And I think, you know, in the past, I have been a bit critical of George and I was unsure whether he could. But, you know, I changed my tune. You know, I'm not going to sit here. If someone's actually starting to impress me, then I'll say it. And I think George has actually matured a lot. You know, the way he's leading this Mercedes team at the moment is phenomenal. He's looking good. He's consistent, putting in some great performances. You saw that in Canada with that pole lap and then going on to actually comfortably win that. He looked in control that whole race in Canada. So, no, for me, he's getting better and better. And if I had to pick between Lando and George, I'd agree with you. I'd put my money on George.
But George now strikes me as a driver that you can rely on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing. Lando, you know he's always going to bring you speed. Okay, he's always quick. We can't deny that. But does he guarantee you the win? I think if you give George the fastest car, I think he's giving me that sort of vibe that actually he's moving into that place where I think I can count on him to win me the race. I feel like you just still don't have that from Lando. And like I said, I'd rather see it from him. I want Lando to come out and start consistently performing. And he's got it in him 100%.
Yeah. And we just need to see it. But for me, I mean, he's been in the sport long enough to not use these excuses that, oh, he's in his first proper season as a championship battle. No. He was in one last year. He should have learned a lot from that. But we'll see how it goes. But do let us know who would win if they're both in the McLaren, George Russell or Lando Norris. Do let us know. Do drop a comment. Right. I've got some interesting facts regarding Lewis Hamilton. So as we know, 10 races now. Currently, Lewis Hamilton has not been on the podium at all. Every year since he started back in 2007, he has always been on the podium within his first 10 races. Okay, in his first season, he was on the podium 9 times. Since then, he's gone on to consistently be on the podium year in, year out after 10 races. This is the first season he has not done that since his move to Ferrari.
Yeah, well, that's Ferrari for you, really, isn't it? At the moment, it's... I know what someone's going to comment. Well, Charles has been on it. Yeah, fine. But, like, look, you can take the... I know people have always got their, like, inter-team rivalries, like Lewis, Charles. Take that aside, right? Ferrari fans, if you're a Charles Leclerc fan, Lewis Hamilton fan, it doesn't matter. It's not good enough for either of them. Both of these drivers are absolutely top class, right? Lewis Hamilton is like, come on, it goes without saying, it's Lewis Hamilton. And you're going to give them this car? I mean, it's just unacceptable. And, you know, we said last week, they've got to do something about it. There are rumours going around that Charles Leclerc wants to leave Ferrari and would seriously consider leaving them at this point. Can you blame him? No. What? Look, there's only so far a name and heritage carries you, okay? At this point in time, right, would you rather be racing for Ferrari or racing for a Haas team that is winning championships? I'll go to Haas, thank you. Yeah, it probably means a lot more winning a title at Ferrari. Yeah, it probably means a lot more driving for them. But ultimately, it's about sporting achievements. If they're just delivering, you know, crap after crap after crap, why is a driver as good as Charles Leclerc and also as young as Charles Leclerc going to continue to have faith in this team?
No.
Because I would have lost faith a long time ago if I was him.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it's tough. And Charles Leclerc shows what he does on a week in, week out basis. You know, we've seen the performances. We've seen last year, you know, the Monaco and the Monza win and all of this stuff, and especially under increasing pressure from McLaren in Monza. You know, this is a guy who is a very talented driver. And actually, if you're not getting that opportunity to go on and win a championship, you look how much it meant to him in Abu Dhabi, right? When they just missed out on... what, P2 was it in the constructors?
Yeah.
And you saw how much it meant to him. He wants to succeed at Ferrari. But if you're a Ferrari team who is not offering him and delivering what he needs, then what do you expect? These drivers want... they've got a very short shelf life in F1, their careers. Apart from if you're Fernando Alonso, then you just seem to go on until like you're 90. But, you know...
He's passed his best before date.
Yeah. But... You want your chance to win, become a world champion, you know. And this is an opportunity that if he doesn't make the right decision soon, he may miss out on those opportunities.
That's the thing, right? Because look, racing, everyone knows, I'm not sitting here saying that racing for Ferrari is not the pinnacle of motorsport anymore. That of course I'm saying that. Like it is ending up at Ferrari is, you know, the greatest thing in an F1 driver's career. But Charles Leclerc has been there, done it. He's done a lot for that team.
Mm.
It's about time he starts to get something from them, because he could race for anyone. Anyone would want Charles Leclerc. Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren. You know, I'm not saying he can just walk into any of those teams at the moment, because obviously we have drivers, but I'm saying if none of those teams had drivers, Charles Leclerc could walk into them easy. And he's going to have to start exploring his options. If, you know, if next year comes, 26, new regulations, and they don't nail it again, I mean, Charles is going to have to really start thinking about 2027.
Okay,
you know, Lewis, I know Lewis has said he's part of a project and the big thing, and that's great, but Lewis has been there and done it. Lewis is not going to retire from the sport and be like, damn, like, imagine what could have been. Charles, if he doesn't win a championship because he's stuck around at Ferrari his whole career and they never delivered for him, will think, I've missed out here.
Yeah. Okay, answer me this then, okay? Say, for example, 2026. Say, for example, Ferrari continue to have a stinker this year. Come 2026, Aston Martin come to Charles Leclerc and go, look, we've got Adrian Newey. We think we got a championship-winning car for 2026. We want you to come. We've decided that Lance Stroll isn't a good driver. It's taken him that long to actually make that decision. They come in and say, we want you to come and drive alongside Fernando Alonso. We believe we got a title-winning car. You're still a bit unsure how Ferrari are going. Do you think Charles Leclerc should take that opportunity, or do you still think he would stick with having faith in Ferrari that they would deliver on 2026?
Look, it's a very hard decision to say, oh, I'm going to leave Ferrari for Aston Martin. Because it's always going to be Aston Martin have done nothing to prove that they actually are there. You know, it's very different to sort of sidestepping to maybe a Mercedes or a McLaren. At this point, you know, it's a step down going to Aston Martin, but I think doing anything before 2026 would be a little bit irrational. I think you'd have to at least see what has happened for the 2026 race. Look, leaving Ferrari for a team that is completely unproven, yeah, they might be ambitious and they're making all the right calls, but we haven't seen any of that yet. However, you know, if McLaren came knocking, all of a sudden it's a lot more difficult, because it's not, they're a team with great heritage. They're a world championship winning team. They've just dominated the second part of these regulations. Like, they've produced a very good car. They understand it. So you can see the ambition in them. Whereas, you know, an Aston Martin, you're probably thinking, oh, like, I see it, it's a project, but you don't step away from Ferrari to join a project.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do let us know, do drop a comment. Just finishing on Charles Leclerc, I saw a post the other day, and I actually wanted to ask this in the last podcast, but we went on for ages talking. There was a post about, obviously, Red Bull and Max Verstappen, and it said, if Charles Leclerc joined Max Verstappen at Red Bull in 2026, would that be the greatest lineup in F1 history? I mean, personally,
What's the difference between Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah.
Is that a timing thing? Are we saying, well, if this was 2019, Lewis, would that make this the greatest F1 partnership ever? Mm. That's a genuine question to you at home. Like, arguably, you could say that at this point in time, if you had Charles and Max on the same team, that would definitely be one of the greatest F1 partnerships ever.
Well, wouldn't you argue that actually one of the greatest F1 lineups in history is Ayrton Senna, Alain Prost?
Well, yeah, that is the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So regardless of whatever these scenarios are happening now, I mean, Charles Leclerc isn't a world champion. Max Verstappen is, granted. I don't know. I think Charles Leclerc's done a great job at Ferrari and got all these wins, but I wouldn't say that was the greatest lineup in F1 history.
No, I think Charles would need a few a few championships under his belt in order to make that. That again, we're doing this based on ability, as in we don't know if Charles Leclerc is capable of winning a world championship, because actually when we saw him have a competitive car for half a season, he was sort of mistake laden. He had errors in him that cost him race wins. Now, look, if you're going to put a gun to my head and say, do you think Charles Leclerc could win a championship? I'm going to say, yeah, I think he could. But I think putting it...
What happens if the gun wasn't at your head?
Well, then I'd say no. It wouldn't change my mind. It's just a stupid saying. I don't know why I said it. But you can't just say, if he's on a team with Max Verstappen, is that the greatest F1 partnership ever? Well, no, because that's just completely being carried by Max Verstappen. Mm. Like, Max is the person with the trophy cabinet. Max is the one with all the records broken. I think you can't have those conversations until people start winning stuff. And like you say, all the while that Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost exist in the same breath. But yeah, that's the best F1 partnership.
Yeah, 100%. Right. I know this is another bit of a quiz, but it won't take that long, okay? Right, races before a podium on the current grid. So drivers who are on the current grid, how many races did it take for them to get their first podium? We seem to be talking about podiums quite a bit today, but let me just run through the list. How many races did it take for Lewis Hamilton to get his first podium?
He could have won his first race.
He did, well done. Lance Stroll is second on this. How many races did it take Lance Stroll to get his first podium?
Five races.
Eight. Oh. Kimi Antonelli.
Oh, shit. How many races have we had?
I knew this was going to get you.
Ten
races it took him. Oscar Piastri.
A little bit longer, like 14.
16. I'm going to scroll down a bit and just go to Max Verstappen. How many races did it take him before he got his first podium?
He's at Toro Rosso.
Mm. 21. 24. Let's go further down. How many, let's say, George Russell?
Oh, George Russell, it would have been a long time. Well, his first podium would have been Spa in 21. I'm going to say maybe like 50-ish.
Spot on, 50.
50?
50. It took George Russell 50 races before he got his first podium.
And that was an extremely unsatisfying first podium. I can't take it away from him. I don't think he'd give a shit if he heard me anyway. But that is an unsatisfying way to get your first podium.
Yeah, 100%.
But luckily, he has gone on to secure race victories, many podiums, and yeah, he at least he got that in like a very memorable fashion as well. That first one.
Yeah. Right. Bottom on this list, which I got in front of me, Carlos Sainz. How many races did it take Carlos Sainz before he got his first podium?
Holy smokes. 80 races.
101 races before Carlos Sainz got his first podium. Mental. Absolutely mental. Right. There's a couple of bits which we're going to talk about before, but you want to preview Austria now, or should we talk about quickly what we've got, something exciting coming up, haven't we? Something which you and I have discussed many times on this podcast. Who would be faster, Luke or me, in a go-kart race? And we got some exciting news, because we've said we're going to do this, we're going to get it booked, and we never do it. However, this Friday coming, we start our go-karting tournament, shall we say, and we're going to find out, after four races, who is the better driver out of Luke and I. There's a few others also within this group, but the main thing is who is faster, Luke or I. How are you feeling about it?
I'm absolutely confident. And can we just say, we've got a group of six of us. One of them is an actual former professional like racing driver.
So there's five of us.
Yeah, and then there's Andy, who used to race Ginettas. So it's likely that he's going to win. But I know two people who are going to be very quick. Andy is one of them, and I think Burton's going to be very quick.
Yeah,
I have absolutely no worries about you. I am just so confident that I'm going to smoke you. It's like, I don't even think about it. The loser of this, or the two losers, so the two slowest people, have to split dinner for the group. We've picked a restaurant. But we are going to do, we're going to do four sessions. We've got four different tracks that we're going to. So the first one is kind of local to us. And the carts aren't great there. But
petrol,
then we are going to...
Petrol carts.
Yeah, but we are going to scale it up, and we're going to try and go to some proper tracks to sort of tie this series up. I don't know if we're going to release it on YouTube or just as like shorts.
I don't know.
On... whatever it is.
Do let us know.
Instagram.
Do let us know. Do drop a comment. What would you prefer? A YouTube video series on it? Or
it's going to get intense. And this is something that we've spoken about for a long time.
I mean, this has been a long time coming. And we have had many conversations about this, about going back and forth. Who is it? Finally, we can kindly this year get it answered, because we've got a race in June, race in August, race in October. And finally, the final race will be in December. So it's also like logistically getting everyone together, because like one of our friends lives well up north. So
Lincoln.
Yeah, is that where he lives?
Yeah, oh. Yeah, that's where he lives. Now Andy lives in Norfolk as well. So yeah, you know, it's difficult getting everyone together, but we've made it happen. It's booked, and yeah. So make sure you follow us on Instagram, because that is where you'll probably hear about everything. It is at BoxBoxPod. That is where you'll get the latest updates for all of that. But it's gonna get pretty spicy, I reckon.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, do you want to preview Austria then?
Yeah, obviously this week. Normally I do a little rundown on the BoxBox app. Give you some stats and interesting facts about the track. However, I can't, because I'm actually having to speak to Matt through my phone, because every time I did it through my laptop, it wouldn't let me record the microphone. You may have noticed last week, I didn't pick up on it at the time, but I think last week's podcast for me was just recorded on my Mac microphone.
We had a shocker last week.
Last week was a fucking disaster.
I mean,
an absolute disaster.
It was just... Do you know what, guys, for you who are watching or listening, so obviously we changed this new format where we film at, you know, our own homes, and we do it this way much easier. Like for me, because I used to have to go to Luke's, we had to set up and all that stuff. I can just come into the office now, I can just get it done, it's perfect. Last week was a nightmare. I had to wait for Luke to transfer the footage over. He then went for his car service, so it took ages for me to get that so I can do the clips. Eventually, when I did get the clips out, that took ages to download. You put out a YouTube video with no audio. Well, you were just miming, basically.
It rendered without any audio, but like just on me. So then, like, I did the whole thing again. Like, I was like, no, the audio is definitely live. Like, rendered the audio files, rendered the video. My audio was just vanished again, and I was like, oh my god, the upload got stuck. Oh no, the whole thing. One thing after another.
The whole thing was awful. But I've got the BoxBox app, and I can do the rundown if you like. So, the Austrian Grand Prix, 27th of June to the 29th of June, 4.318 kilometers. How many laps, Luke?
How long?
4.318 kilometers.
I'm going to say we have 71 laps.
71 laps, spot on.
Really?
Yeah, how the hell do you... You got that in front of you or something?
I can't.
Oh, yeah, of course. 10 turns, top speed of 324.7 kilometers an hour, 5.25 meters elevation, and the race weekend starts on Friday, practice 1, 12:30 to 1:30. Practice 2, 4 till 5. Saturday, practice is 11:30 till 12:30. Qualifying, 3 till 4. And the race is 2 till 4 on Sunday. Nice times, nice times.
Oh, we should probably break the news that we're not going to be here next week.
Well, no, no. Let's just rephrase that, Luke.
Yeah, we are not going to be here next week.
Who is not going to be here next week?
We will not be here next week.
Okay, and whose fault is that?
You know, we're a team here in BoxBox, so we kind of don't point the finger at anyone. We just... Look, it's not my fault. My girlfriend wanted a little getaway, and she said, this is the weekend we're doing. So I said, okay.
Nice. Well, we're not here, yeah, but I will bring you content.
I'm away Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I'm back on Tuesday, but I'll be in the Waffling studio on Tuesday.
With his main one, the important one, you know.
The one that pays my bills.
Yeah, fair point. But yeah, I'll be back next weekend anyway, but I'll do some clips. I'll get some content out. Top three for this weekend's Austrian Grand Prix.
This is such a max track. I don't know what to think. Like, now Mercedes look good. The car looked like quick this weekend. So now I'm thinking, okay, is that track specific? Or I'm going to say Max Verstappen. Okay. That's who my money's on. Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
Okay. I'm going to go for... Oscar, Max, George.
Ooh. Where's Lando?
P4.
I don't know. Where are the Ferraris?
P6, Leclerc P5, Leclerc P5, Lewis Hamilton P6.
Where is Yuki Tsunoda?
P11.
Oh, so he doesn't even finish in the points?
No, because that's where his famous finishing is. He likes finishing there.
Yeah, that's when he was in an RB.
He still does it in a Red Bull.
I know, it's actually obscene. I won't go down that path again, but it's just obscene.
All right. One of the things which we started doing on the podcast, what is going to be your shock of the weekend?
Shock of the weekend. Nico Hülkenberg makes it into Q3.
Nice. I can see that. I'm going to go for one because it's got to happen eventually. Bortoleto to pick up his first points this weekend for Stake.
Wow. Why?
I don't know. I think it's coming. It's coming. He's finishing races. It's got to come soon. It's got to come soon. I think he's due a point here and there.
Yeah, and we have said, look, he's been doing all the right things. He's been turning up week in, week out. He's not been crashing. He's been getting the car across the line. And, I would like for that one to come true because I think he deserves some points.
All right, answer me this and let me know for you guys who are listening at home. Will Yuki Tsunoda get out of Q1 this weekend?
I really hope so. I really hope so. I mean, he's got to. That car cannot be that bad. I just truly don't believe it. Yuki Tsunoda must be able to take that car out of Q1. He's not a bad driver.
No.
He's just not. Okay, he might not be Max Verstappen. You don't have to be Max Verstappen. Sergio Perez, for the best part of his Red Bull career, wasn't Max Verstappen. He still won some races. I mean, he's got to. And this, we've always seen the Red Bull do well around here. So if there's any track that he's going to do it, it should be this one. You know, will we ever see Yuki Tsunoda out-qualify Max Verstappen?
No. I generally can't see it. The only way I ever see that happening... Do you remember, was it 2023 or something, when Sergio Perez out-qualified Max in... Where was it? Singapore, I think it was. But it was literally because Max was just having issues galore all weekend. That's the only way I see Yuki Tsunoda out, you know, qualifying Max Verstappen is if Max has, you know, an issue with his car that he can't get it sorted in time. That's the only way I can see Yuki beating him.
I'm starting to get to the point where I think Max Verstappen will just never be out qualified again.
Well, yeah.
By a teammate.
No, I agree. Do let us know. Will Yuki ever out-qualify Max Verstappen? I personally can't see it. I'd like to see it, but I just can't see it. But I think that is the end of the podcast. Have we missed anything?
No. I mean...
It's quite a quick podcast. I always feel a bit weird because this is already under an hour and normally we don't do many under-hour podcasts. So it's a bit of a weird one. As Luke said, we are not here next week. I will still be posting content over the weekend and heading into next week. So I'll do some clips. So stay tuned for that and check us out on all social media. We'll be posting clips, all of that as well. Do check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, TikTok. We're daily uploaders. So do check us out. And hopefully we have a good race this weekend. Hopefully we have a good battle. Obviously we had a good race last year between Lando and Max. Will we have another collision this weekend? I don't know. What do you think?
I hope so.
Between
I
who?
Really do.
Between who though?
Honestly, I'd rather it between Oscar and Lando. I think that'd be. But I don't want one of them to get smashed out of the race. I just want there to be. I don't know. I just want it to get feisty between them. I think it would make the championship more exciting.
Mm. Yeah, do let us know. Well, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, do drop a comment. Do leave us a like. Subscribe if you're new. If you're on Spotify, do leave us a 5-star rating. We do really appreciate it. And you can also leave us a comment, just like the guy did last week, which was a very nice comment, which I sent you, Luke.
You did.
But yeah, do check us out. Have a great week. And we shall speak to you soon. Bye-bye.